bless you. Amen. This is to bless our pastor and his wife. Amen. For their 30 years of marriage. And I'll tell you, their husband and wife, their boyfriend and girlfriend, as well as pastor and secretary, they have a multi-level relationship. And what an example they are. They have their own unique personality, but they've learned to give and receive love. And they have been a steadfast, consistent example for all of us, for our children, and we want to be a blessing. Let's put our hands together and thank God for our pastor and his wife. This coming spring, okay, God bless you, you can return. This coming spring will be their 24th year as pastor of this assembly. So we're going to do something really big on their 25th pastoral anniversary. So keep that in mind. Also, our East Campus service is tonight, or this evening rather, at 6:30 p.m. And last announcement, it's starting to get a little bit cooler in South Florida, which we do appreciate. But we are going to be giving some blankets, sleeping bags to our homeless friends. And if you would help us in that, we would really, really appreciate it. Just a sleeping bag, a blanket. Any details concerning that, brother?
New or gently used.
Okay. Yes, warm clothes, sweaters. All right. Amen. We took care of the socks a few weeks ago. All right. So you'll be seeing that information in the bulletin the next few weeks. We appreciate your help in this matter. Let's turn into the word of the Lord. It's 12:10. I don't have much time. I know you guys have an early appointment to make for your lunch. But let's turn into the word of the Lord to the book of 2 Kings chapter 22. The book of 2 Kings chapter number 22. I'm going to be there for just a little bit and have some verses of scripture to read. How many of you have been blessed so far in this service? Amen. Earlier in the presence of God, moving, manifesting, we're experiencing and being refreshed and renewed. Thank God for that. 2 Kings chapter 22. I want to start reading with verse number 1. It's good to have our dear friends from Ohio back with us. My spiritual, we have a good relationship. He's my fishing mentor. She is my best friend mainly because of her, all the good candy she brings and those magnificent biscuits that she has made and taught me to make. And now I have my own set of iron skillets, cast iron skillets, and I can make biscuits not as good, but I'm in the right path. I'm on the right road. And Brother Lemuel Saligan just got back from the Philippines. God bless you. Amen. We're going to be making a trip over there to do some missionary work and see the power of God. Brother Peter Nagy's made it back from his surgery. It's good to see him again. We have others, and you've returned, and we're glad to have you back. 2 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old. Everybody say 8 years old.
8 years old.
When he began to reign. That's incredibly young to be reigning as king. Let me get some monitors right here, please. 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Dea of Boskath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to focus your attention there with me. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I want to insert this. He could not have done that which was right in the sight of the Lord until he learned what was right in the sight of the Lord. You can have good intentions and zeal and passion, but yet not do things that are right. That's why knowledge is important. Because you can't do right unless you know what is right. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Apparently he was not persuaded by others around him. He was not in office to do what the people asked or desired him to do. He was in office to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Skip down to verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He heard some things from the word of God that disturbed him so greatly that he immediately became aware that things were not right in Judah. And he rent his clothes. This was a common reaction or response upon hearing news, distressful news of calamity or tragedy or grave disappointment. It was an expression of sorrow, grief, and in some cases indignation. And he rent his clothes after he realized that things were not right with his people. It bothered him so deeply. Verse 12, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Akbar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, go ye and inquire of the Lord. Verse 13, this is what he said. Go and inquire of the Lord. Look at somebody and ask them this question. How long has it been since you have inquired of the Lord? Come on, young person, how long has it been? I didn't ask how long has it been since you praised the Lord or since you did your little dance and got your praise on. That's good. I want to know how long has it been since you have come face to face with the Almighty God at an altar in a private chamber and you began to inquire of the Lord. This is what the king desired. Go ye inquire of the Lord for me. He knew his place as king, and he knew the place of the prophet and the priest. And he stayed in his lane. Go inquire of the Lord for me. Aren't you glad that you don't have to tell somebody, go inquire for the for the Lord. Go inquire after the Lord for me. In fact, we still tend to do that occasionally. Pastor, preacher, minister, would you pray about this while I do my thing? And we expect them to pray more about it than we do ourselves. But he said, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people. Everybody say, for the people. And for all Judah. Amazing. Concerning the words of this book. That tells me that his focus and desire was what God had to say. And he said, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words. Everybody say hearkened. They haven't listened and been obedient to the words of this book to do according to all which is written concerning us. Let's close our eyes for just a moment. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we love and appreciate you. We're so blessed to be in your presence. Lord, with your people. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful place. Your presence is here. Your name is here. Your word is here. Your spirit is here. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. We love and appreciate you. We want to hear your voice today. We want to be sensitive, oh God, and responsive to you. Help us to hear and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. King Josiah began reigning, as we've mentioned, at the young age of 8. That's amazing. But upon hearing the word of God, he came to the realization that Judah was not in right standing with God. Obviously, this king was a selfless lad, concerned for the people of God, not his position. But his concern was for the people. And he realized that Judah was not in right standing with God. That they were not doing that which was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. They were not busy about the will of God. That which had been laid out for them. They were very religious. But they were void of intimate relationship with their God. And he determined that he was going to do something about the problem. And you can read through this chapter as well as chapter 23 and furthermore in the book of Chronicles to get the details of this young man's response to the word of God. He began to purge the land of Jerusalem and Judah. He began to deal with the idolatrous or the worldly priests and the self-proclaimed prophets. He was getting rid of everything that had become a hindrance to the relationship with God. He began to pour finances into repairing the house of God. He wanted to make sure everything was brought back into proper alignment and proper order in order to please God and appease the wrath of God. In those days, we read in 2 Kings 23 and 9, some of the high priests of the high places avoided. Then this stood out to me when I was reading this. I'd never saw this before. The priests of the high places, they would not come to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but however they would eat the unleavened bread among their brethren. I've seen that in both the 20th and 21st century. That even in our churches today, there'll always be a group that will come for the bread, they'll come for the blessing, but they'll never come to bow themselves down before an altar. And the high priests of that day were busy in their high, lofty places doing what they wanted to do, accountable to no one, coming and going as they pleased, interpreting the scriptures or the law as they saw it. And they would even eat bread among the brethren. They would go to church, but they would not come to the altar of God. But Josiah, on the other hand, was willing to do anything it took to make things right with God. Apparently, he wanted God's people, God's church, amen, God's covenant people to be blessed, to have a blessed future, to have God's grace upon them and their children and their children's children. What you're seeing, what you're experiencing, what you're a part of today is bigger than you and your family. Come on. The Bible says, for the promise is not just to you, but it's to your children, amen, and your children's children, and as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This young king was aware of the bigger picture. And he made a commitment that he was going to humble himself and he was going to repair the house of God, get rid of every hindrance, purge the nation, and he began to work. This did not take place in a moment's time. It took time, perhaps years, to accomplish. And we read in the scripture of 2 Chronicles 34 and 3 that this young king was no ordinary king. Young people, I want you to hear me. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, and according to the scriptures, he was 16 years of age at this point. And at the age of 16 years, amen, he had knowledge. He heard from the prophet and the prophetesses. He heard from the priests and he heard from the scribes. And he was filling his spirit and his mind with the word of God so that he could know how to please his God. I'm telling you, it takes more than enthusiasm, passion, fervor, and zeal. It takes a knowledge of God if you're going to please him. And so this young man at the age of 16 years began to seek after the God of David, his father. That ought to encourage us that we don't have to wait until we're all grown up. We don't have to wait till we get done with high school or college and get into our particular career choice, but we can begin to seek the Lord in our teenage years. Come on, somebody. This was a young man, hallelujah, and he was a king. He had anything and everything he wanted. He had the nicest shoes. He had the nicest clothes. He had people waiting on him hand and foot. But there was one thing that mattered more than anything. He wanted to know the God of Israel. He wasn't satisfied with just being a king and coming to church and have somebody pray for him. He began to seek the Lord for himself. Come on, it's not enough just to go to church. I want to know the God of the church. It's not enough just to see somebody else get blessed and to realize they have faith. Come on, I want to know the blesser. I need faith for myself. I want to talk to this God. I want to seek him so that I can find him. What an example. Seeking the Lord in the days of his youth. Remembering the Lord. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. This young man got busy. Taking care of things, purging the land of everything that was contrary to what pleases the Lord. How bold, how righteous, how courageous this young man was. As a king, as I've mentioned before, he had it all. Could you imagine? Being a teenager and being a king? Huh? Think about that. Now, in our day, he would have the latest electronics. I mean, he would be connected to the satellite. He could communicate with other kings. He'd be playing PS4 with King Abdullah in Egypt. Come on, somebody. I mean, he would be with the program. But that's not what he was about. He was about the Lord. I want to know God. I want to know the Word of God. I want to know what pleases God. This was no ordinary young man. He was no ordinary king. In fact, 2 Kings chapter number 23 and verse 25 says, and I didn't realize this, and I read this, I've heard of King Josiah, but when I started reading, the Bible says, and like unto him, Brother Najee, like unto him, King Josiah, there was no king before him that turned, not even David, not even a man that was reaching for the heart of God, not even King David, not even David was at this level. David had his share of mistakes, failures, and flaws. No doubt in the decisions that David made had serious repercussions and consequences that costed him, his children, and his children's children. But this young man began to seek the Lord in his teenage years. And the Bible records it. There was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might. Come on, interpret that for me. According to the law of Moses. That means according to the knowledge he had. He lived it out. And he gave everything that he was completely to God. Neither was there any after him. Nobody like King Josiah, before or after. Not David, not Solomon. Nobody like this young boy. And the Lord spoke to this young man through a prophet. I'm so glad that he was willing as a king to submit himself to the ministry of the priest and the prophet. And he, as the king, even though he had the rank of being king, this great political leader, he humbled himself and he wanted to hear what God had to say. His ears were always open. His heart was always open to hear the word of the Lord. But I'm realizing that in a generation that we're living in today, people want to come to church. They want to feel good. They want to eat the unleavened bread. They want to sing and dance and get a miracle, but nobody wants to bow down before God. Nobody wants to humble their spirit before God and say, Lord, it's not about my will. It's about the will of God. I'm not here, amen, to be blessed. I'm here to know the blesser. And the young man said, preacher, preach to me. The king said, preacher, preach to me. Prophet, let me know what God is saying. I want to know the voice of God. And 2 Chronicles says in 34 and 27, this was a tremendous description or illustration of this young man's character. They began to describe him in this verse. Because thine heart was tender. Somebody say, because his heart was tender. It was delicate. It was submitted. It was contrite. And it says, because your heart was tender, and because you humbled yourself before God, didn't matter who was in the crowd. Didn't matter about the dignitaries that were looking at you that were much older than you. But you were willing to humble yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof. And you humbled yourself before me. And you rent your clothes and you wept before me. And because of that, because you have been tender towards me, because you took heed to my words, because you listened to me when I spoke, therefore I have heard thee also. Amen. Let me break it down for you. Because this young man's heart was tender. Amen. Because he was delicate. Amen. And insensitive to God, because he learned the value of submitting his life completely to God and his sovereignty. Amen. The Bible says that God listened to him. How would you like to be in a place, in a relationship, have the spiritual posture, amen, with God, that he hears you every time you open your mouth, every time you cry? You know in your heart, my dad's listening to me. He hears my faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Oh, what a wonderful Savior I get to have a relationship with. Because he was sensitive toward God, God was sensitive toward him. It's kind of like a mama or a daddy after they bring baby home for the first time. Mom and daddy sleeps light those first maybe few days or few weeks or few months. I'm telling you, when you get a brand new baby in the house, your sleep patterns change a little bit. All of a sudden, you have a new, a heightened sensitivity. And every time the baby moves or groans or makes a noise, you can hear the baby in the other room, because you will only become sensitive to the things that you care about the most, the things that you love, the things that you look at. Amen. You'll become more sensitive to. Come on, somebody. This young man was sensitive to God. Hallelujah. And as a result, God became sensitive to him. And when this young man cried or moved, God said, "What's going on? Is he okay? Let me look after my boy." I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of relationship with the Almighty God. If I can learn to be sensitive to God, then in return, God will be sensitive to me and to my needs and to my cry. Come on and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. That's why I love coming to church. I love coming to church. I like the idea of having an altar. I know it's kind of an invisible space here, but every time I get down to this altar, every time I move forward to get close to God, he always hears me. He always responds to me. He's always there to commune with me. He's always there to encourage me. He's always there to embrace me and to let me know, "You're going to be all right. You're going to make it." Is anybody beside me glad that you have an opportunity to come to an altar? Hallelujah. To cry out unto the Lord and he hear your prayer. Come on, turn me up a little bit. Praise the Lord. I'm having to scream. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel, but an altar is a privilege. That's right. Come on. In the Old Testament, it was only the high priest. In fact, it was only the priests in general that can go to the altar, the brazen altar. But it was only the high priest that could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But in order to go into the Holy of Holies, they had to go behind the veil. And in the New Testament, I see the veil as flesh. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. That means man could not tear it. Only God can rent the veil. Come on, only God can open the door. And God has opened the door for the New Testament church to come boldly to the throne of grace to make your petition known before God. Come boldly, not because of who you are, but because of who he is and what he's provided. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I don't have to wait until December. I don't have to wait to a certain month. I can go to God every single day. Hallelujah, in the inner sanctuary of my heart. My God. I know the world is preaching. The world is speaking. The world and the spirits of the world are trying to tell our young people, look what you're missing out on. Look what you could be doing. Look at these places you could be going. Look at who you could be with. Tell somebody, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Come on, I'm in a relationship with the Almighty God. I don't have time for that. I came out of the world. I came out of Egypt. I came out of bondage. I don't have time to go back. I done been there, had the t-shirt, and sold it at a yard sale. Come on, somebody. You need to serve the Lord because it's your privilege and it's the opportunity, the greatest one. I get to go to church on Sunday. I get to go to prayer meeting. I get to go to the house of God on a Wednesday night. Nobody makes me live this way. Nobody makes me live this way. The pastor don't make me live this way. The preachers don't make me live this way. I live this way because I have a lover and I want to please him. And I've learned that if I'm going to please him, it's got to be I deny myself. I take up my cross because at any cost, I want to follow him. And if I'm not denying myself and taking up my cross and submitting my life to him, then I'm not following him. Amen. I just show up every once in a while for a little bit of bread. But high five somebody and tell them, I didn't come for the bread. I come for the one who gives the bread. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. 23 years and it's getting better. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I got the Holy Ghost in 1993 and in 2000 at the close of 2016. It's more glorious than it's ever been. Hallelujah. Oh, so you're bored in church. You know what that tells me? If you're bored in church, you don't know him that well. You may be seated. You know, back in the day, we could go over so-and-so's house because there's always a party going on over there. It's never boring over there because they got money. They got something to drink. They got cornbread, black-eyed peas, some fried fatback. Come on now, hallelujah. I'm telling you, every time I get a chance to go to the house of God, I'm going to be there because it ain't about the cornbread. It's about relationship. I get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every time I get here, I hear the voice of my lover. I feel the warm embrace of my Savior. My God, can we praise him a little bit? King Josiah reverently responded to God no matter what it cost him. It didn't matter what friendship he had to lose or let go of. Some people are hindered right now because of an inappropriate relationship they have with somebody they know ain't right with God. And they justify it and say, well, they're a Christian too. There's people under the sound of my voice. You're hindering the plan and the purpose and the power and the presence of God from working in and through you because of a relationship that you're in right now that you don't need to be in. I hope you can hear the Holy Ghost speaking to you. But this man was sensitive to God, and God was sensitive to him. And my prayer and the word that the Lord gave me and brought back to my attention is it is time that we get back to being sensitive to God. We're sensitive to problems. We're sensitive to pain. We're sensitive to people. We're sensitive to things that people say about us. What about being sensitive to God? Does God have to scream to get your attention? Does he have to bring a little pressure to get your attention? I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to get us ready for the rapture because we're so caught up with the world. We're so caught up with our business. We're so caught up with trying to make ends meet that we forgot about the greatest thing of all, and that is being in a relationship with God. Not just being in relationship, but right relationship. Come on, somebody. You have a relationship with the world. You have a relationship with your family. You have a relationship with your co-worker. Good or bad, it's a relationship. So God's not just looking for a relationship. He's looking for a right relationship. Oh, somebody hear the Holy Ghost. He doesn't just want a connection. He wants a right relationship with you. Grab somebody by the hand or by the arm. Tell them God wants a right relationship with you. I know I didn't give us a title, but this is part two of the message I preached a year ago. A year ago, I was preaching on spiritual sensitivity, and I dealt with how a person becomes hardened. What people don't realize is that the more they resist God, the more they refuse to submit to God, when the call of God and the move of the Holy Ghost is present and they don't respond right, what they don't realize is they are hardening their own heart. And over a period of time, they become so hard-hearted and so callous that God can't do anything with them. God has to step back and allow pressure and problems and pain to come into your life to bring you back to a level of sensitivity. Come on. How are we going to impact the world if we're not sensitive to God? I'm not talking about being sensitive to the Holy Ghost when the singers are singing. Is that what it takes to drive the devils away from you? A little bit of music? Come on, King Saul. Isn't it interesting that King Saul always wanted to hear David's music, but he didn't want a right relationship with David's God? He wanted the bread, but he didn't want to bow down at an altar and say, God, I need help. I need help. I can't do this on my own. Hallelujah. I got to have him. I long to see a group of people that will cry out, not just with their words, but their life cries out, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Take everything, but don't take my relationship with God away. I need him. I don't just need him at Christmas time. I don't just need him when I'm sick. I don't just need him when I'm broke. I don't just need him when I'm in trouble. I need him every hour. Does anybody beside me feel that way? God's wanting to bring us back to a place of sensitivity. I know sometimes we come to church and we hear the preaching and we don't even move. And our mind, it seems, is in two different places. We're thinking about, I got turkey noodle soup at the house. I got giblet gravy to go with a few pieces of cornbread. You're thinking about something else. When God is saying, man, if you could just be sensitive to me. Listen to me. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. You don't know it. But if we can't learn to be sensitive and surrendered to God among the church, then you're not going to be sensitive to God and surrender to God on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. This is where it has to start. We've got to start being sensitive to God among the brethren in the house of God. Come on, because God's trying to teach us. If you can learn to be sensitive to me, I can use you anywhere. I can trust you anywhere. Oh, God is wanting to make us and turn us and transform us into a conduit so that we can hear, we can receive, and we can give, and we can speak. I want you to hear that. So important. An elder sister told me recently, We were talking about being conditioned, being broken. I said, you know what about being broken? We don't need to be destroyed, but we need to be broken to the degree that we're open on both ends. You know what I'm saying? Like a pipe, like a conduit.
Yes, sir.
That you can receive, you can hear, you're sensitive, and there's an outlet. You've learned how to release it. You've learned how to speak it. You've learned how to receive from God, and you've learned how to give by the power of God. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to get our attention. That if you'll be sensitive to me, if you'll surrender to me, if you'll start seeking my face and yielding your life to me, I'll turn you into a conduit that I can use you anywhere, that I can speak through you anywhere. Oh, that I can bless somebody anywhere because I have a vessel that has totally surrendered and yielded to me. I remember I was telling the Lord and just speaking to myself. I said, Lord, I remember I've been in services. I have elders. One that came to mind was Nona Freeman. Her and her husband, missionaries to Africa. You can buy her books that her and her husband have wrote, their journeys, their experiences. That woman was so sensitive to God. If God told her to go stand on the front porch and wave, she would do it because she was so sensitive. She could hear God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because she was so sensitive to God, God could use her anywhere. I recall the story. I can't remember if it was her or someone else, but the Lord spoke to one of these sisters and says, go and stand on the front porch and just wave. And then she was thinking, that's kind of crazy. I know we're Southern and we wave at everybody, but to wave at nobody is a little bit odd. But the sister just obeyed the voice of God. She became so sensitive to the Lord. She went on the front porch and began to wave. Just wave. Just wave. I don't know who I'm waving to, but I'm waving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we talk to ourselves and so forth. But the long story short, there was a truck that came by. She was waving. That man looked and saw that woman waving. Later, she ran in to that man. And that man said, woman, you don't know me, but I was on my way to end my life. I was on my way to kill myself. I done determined in my mind there's nothing left to live for. But when I drove by your house, and I saw your beautiful countenance and your smile, and you began to wave at me. It was almost like the Lord was telling me, you don't have to end things this way. There's more to live for. I'm telling you, if you and I will learn to be sensitive to God, God will use us anywhere. People can be helped. Oh. Hallelujah. I want to be sensitive to the moving and the manifesting of His Spirit. I want to be sensitive enough, like Sister Mary. You ever been around Sister Mary? She's my mama. She's one of my favorite mamas. I lost my mom when she was in her 50s. I miss my mom. I wish I had more time. But since coming here, I've gotten a lot of moms and dads and brothers and sisters, and I'll pick on you, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, she just goes to random gas stations. She don't even need any gas. She just goes to random gas stations. Next thing you know, she's there at the tank, $8.97. Goes in to find out what's going on, and it's another sister. They meet. Next thing you know, there's a prayer meeting. There's a Bible study. There's a connection made. There's a soul won. There's a person filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I want to be sensitive to God. That I can walk through Walmart or Publix. Usually I don't feel like talking to somebody because I'm after a box of cookies or some bologna to go with my bread. Maybe throw a little cheese on it.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I don't feel like talking to somebody or telling somebody, you know, about the goodness of God. But the Lord is dealing with me, and I know He's speaking to you. That if we will learn to be sensitive to Him every day at all, in all places, God can use us in all places. We'll find ourselves telling somebody about the goodness of God. Come on, you don't know where they're going. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're planning to do to themselves or to somebody else. And if you and I can learn to submit ourselves to God every single day, our high school classroom will be different. People will get to know our God. If we will learn to be sensitive and yield ourselves. I know I got to close. Sensitive to the Word of God. Sensitive to the call of prayer. The call to intercede. I'm thankful. I thank God. I've told them. I thank God for you. Because when the Lord moves on your heart to pray, you begin to pray. You don't even know what to pray, but you begin to call someone's name out in prayer. I thank God for those who are sensitive to the touch and to the voice of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. Music, you can come. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, verse number 8. Says, now be ye not stiff-necked, which means hard, difficult, stubborn, or rigid. Don't be stubborn. Why are you so difficult to work with and to work through? As your fathers were. But this is what he says. But yield yourselves unto the Lord. Tell somebody, yield yourself to God.
Yield yourself to God.
You're not going to experience what God has for you if you're always dictating and trying to lead God. Your greatest blessing comes when you yield the right of way to the one who has the right of way. You know how we are in traffic? Some people don't obviously study the manual, and they don't know the right of way. And that bothers me to this day, and I say, well, they're ignorant. Or they need their license suspended. Because they don't know the right of way. They get to a traffic signal and they don't know who has the right of way. Well, in the body of Christ, in the house of God, you need to know who has the right of way. You and I need to know who we are to yield ourselves to. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. We're driving through life, trying to get things done, coming and going, working our job, getting our education, taking care of our families. But there's one thing we need not ever forget. He always has the right of way. And when He says stop, I gotta stop. If He says go, I've gotta go. If He says turn, I've gotta turn. I've gotta learn to yield myself to the one who has the right of way. He says, yield yourselves to God. Enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Let's all stand. I started about 12:10 or 12:15, for those of you who are keeping track of how long I preach. It's amazing. We never keep track of how long the movie is. But if we will start seeking, surrendering, and being sensitive to God. Are you guys hearing me? Because if you're not hearing me, you're not hearing the one who sent me. And if you can't hear the one who sent me, then I don't know if you can be saved. I'm dead serious. If you can't hear the voice of God, then how can you be saved? One of the greatest things you could ever do or experience or hear is the voice of God. Generally, it's through the communication of the Word of God, because it's not coming from brain or intellect, logic, reasoning. It's coming by the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that moved upon the prophets moves in our congregation. But if we can learn to seek and surrender and become sensitive to God every day, somebody say daily. And some of you heard me say this before, but it bears worth repeating. It bears to repeat again. That if you and I will seek and surrender to God every day, become sensitive and yield our life to God, Brother Powell, I'm convinced that we will it's not that we have more joy, it's that we will experience more joy, more peace, and your life, Brother Garza, will become a conduit for the kingdom of God to manifest. Listen, when and where the king reigns, his kingdom is manifest. I want you to hear this. When and where the king reigns, his kingdom is manifest. What do we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There is no coming forth. There is no manifesting of the kingdom of God until we've learned to be sensitive and surrendered to the king himself. How many would like to see your friends at school receive the Holy Ghost? You think they're going to receive the Holy Ghost just because you go to a Holy Ghost-filled church? We've got to learn to be sensitive to God. I know many of you are. Sometimes we say, well, they're just so spiritual. Well, you can be spiritual and be dumb. Some people are spiritual, but they're ignorant. That's why knowing truth will make you free. It'll free you from darkness and ignorance so that you're not just spiritual. I don't want to just be spiritual. I want to be sensitive to the knowledge of truth, the knowledge of the Word of God. Am I taking too long? Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. We'll never yield the fruit of the Spirit until we learn to yield our bodies, our minds, our lives to him. I'm convinced that we could have a gift because the Holy Ghost is in us. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. But if you want fruit, there has to be a flow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody wants a gift. Praise God. The gifts are for the church because we have to minister. There's a lot of needs and it requires supernatural gifts. But let me tell you something. We need more than gifts. We need fruit. And the only way there's going to be fruit, Brother Turner, is if there is a flow. If there is no flow, there is no fruit. Come on. I know some of your gift works on Sunday only, maybe Wednesday, or maybe at a prayer meeting. But if you want fruit that people can look at and give glory to God, then you need a daily flow in your life. Come on, is anybody beside me hungry for the flow of the Spirit? I need the flow on a Monday. Come on, we're facing a big world. There's big problems, big challenges, I'm telling you, and they're not gonna go away. I want a daily flow so there's daily provision. Come on, grab somebody by the hand, encourage them. There is a daily flow in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you allow the Holy Ghost to flow into you and through you, there'll be daily bread, daily anointing, daily knowledge. Come on, daily power, daily peace, daily joy. Come on, God is looking for a daily church, a consistent, faithful, sensitive church. Yield yourself to God. The Holy Ghost is trying to arrest us. Say, yield yourself to me. Yield yourself to me. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till Wednesday. You can be used of God every single day. Every day you can be used of God. Come on, join in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's it going to take? I don't know. But I think we need to start by saying, Lord, teach me how to be sensitive. Teach me how to yield myself. I know a lot of times I don't pray in the Holy Ghost because I don't feel good. I'm talking to somebody right now. Sometimes we don't pray in the Holy Ghost because we don't feel good, because we're mad, because we're hurt, because we're angry, or because we're offended, or because we're going through some kind of time of sorrow and grief, and we don't feel like praying the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you right now, you can transcend above that. You can rise above that because the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you right now, amen, the Holy Ghost is not depending on your feeling. The Holy Ghost and the anointing and the flow is activated when you walk by faith. And walking by faith is walking by the knowledge of God. Come on. In Jesus' name, this whole auditorium is an altar. You can meet with God right where you are, right where you stand. My brother, God called you here. Don't you deny it. In the name of the Lord. Come on, Brother Hugh. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, you can pray in the Holy Ghost every single day. Hallelujah. Come on, try it. I dare you to try it. Just come before God's presence. Come before the throne of grace every day. Every day when you wake up, don't forget, it's an opportunity to yield yourself to God, to yield your vessel, your mind, your tongue to God, so that He can use you and bless you and manifest Himself. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you want to see more people blessed in your life? Learn to yield yourself to God. If you want to see more prayers answered, learn to yield yourself to God. Come on, you have 15 minutes on the way to your job, 20 minutes on the way to school. You can turn that radio dial to a Christian radio station. Put your CD in. Come on, get you a doorkeeper CD and entertain the presence of God. Begin to yield your mind to the Holy Ghost, because God wants to use us every day, everywhere. Come on, why are you so difficult? Why are you so stiff? Why is it so hard for God to move through you? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of what it's going to cost you? Is it sin? You know what I do when I've got a problem? I'm struggling. I've got something that's not right. I say, Lord, I'm having a problem with this. I need help. My thoughts, whatever it is, I say, God, I need some help with this, because this is stopping the flow. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is that's stopping the flow of the Holy Ghost, let's bring it to God. Bring it to God. You can begin to sing whatever you got. Hallelujah. But I just want to give myself to God every day. Come on, the Lord is wanting to encourage you. Hallelujah. That if you can surrender to Him, if you can yield to Him, He can use you anywhere. Come on, you can become an instrument of His righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I give you my soul. For you.
Every breath that I take.
every moment. Lord, I give you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
Hallelujah.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take.
Every moment. Brother Peter Green at. Peter Green, let us know that you're going to be baptized today in Jesus' name. This is our moment. This is our moment. If we can respond to God right now, come on, we can set some things in motion. Come on, you can pray in the Holy Ghost every day, every day, every day, every day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can experience the flow of God's Spirit. Join with somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's encourage one another. Instead of focusing on all my pain and all my problems, I'm going to focus on the one that can help me in spite of my pain, in spite of my problems. I'm going to get the flow of God's Spirit. I'm going to yield myself to God. Just for a little bit of time, just a little bit of time. Come on, let's initiate something. Let's start something. Let's respond. Come on. We want this to build. We want this to carry through into Monday morning. Hallelujah. Some of you are facing some situations in your life, on your job, on your school campus, in your home that you can't fix, and you need the flow of God's Spirit. Come on, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, and you need the anointing to be active in your life. I need the anointing to be active in my life. Hallelujah. What we don't realize, Brother Byfield, is when we become insensitive, we delay our own deliverance and our own spiritual development. And if we're insensitive, we become a person who denies someone else from being blessed by what God could do through us. Come on, if our East Campus is going to survive, there's got to be a flow of God's Spirit in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, we activate the anointing by faith. It's the only thing whereby we can please God. It's going to get you involved in the ministry. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I see some people clapping, people with their hands up in the back. Why don't we join hands and we connect with one another? We want to pray one for another because God wants us to encourage one another in the Lord. I can't do this by myself. I'm not sufficient by myself. I need Christ. I need the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, the Lord's wanting to encourage us. Hey, Kesuria Mandahaya. Come on, the Holy Ghost is wanting to encourage us. It's time to be sensitive to God. Respond to His call. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. He's wonderful. Oh, you're going to find Him. You're going to experience a greater flow if there's greater sensitivity. If you yield yourself more to Him, you'll experience Him more. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. If the Holy Ghost is flowing in your life, pray for somebody. Minister to somebody. Come on. The Holy Ghost is wanting you to become a conduit in this place. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. It's about you yielding to the glory and the goodness of God. A song that I need to learn to sing every day is I give myself away. I render my rights. I render my will. And I give myself to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, Josiah. Come on. We need you to remain tender. Tender before God. If you can be tender before God, God can use you before men. Oh. Come on, there's nobody stopping you. Nobody stopping you from getting up early in the morning. Even if it's 10 minutes, make it quality time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever you got to do, go to the gym, get you a cup of coffee, but learn to commune with God and get the Spirit flowing in your life so He can use you through the course of your day. Those of you that are ready to be baptized, we're ready right now in Jesus' name. We have our ministry ready. Amen. So those of you that help with our baptism, please engage. Thank you, Brother Corinthian, Brother Powell. But the water's ready. The Lord's ready. The Holy Ghost is moving and speaking in this house. We want to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, today's the day you can receive the Holy Ghost so you can learn really what it's all about, so that you can learn that you can give yourself to God every single day, that you become a living sacrifice. Come on, so that His glory can be manifest. His kingdom can be manifest in and through you. Can we sing that as a dedication to the Lord? I give myself away. Come on, church, join with me. Brother Swayze, God wants to use you. Brother Rickerson, God wants to use you. God has a ministry for every believer in this house.
Can you see? I give myself away.
Oh, give myself away. That's right. Come on, not only is God going to use you in the Philippines, God's going to use you here, brother. Give myself.
So you.
Say, here I am.
Here I am.
I stand. Hallelujah. I want everybody in high school, come up here right now. Come on, God's getting ready to activate your ministry. Come on, everybody in the Holy Ghost that you're attending high school, I want you to come here right now. Brother Sean Dooley, I want you to help me pray. God's fixing to activate a ministry in every one of our high school students. Come on, step up. Throw your hands up in the air. Come on, God's getting ready to show you what He's capable of doing. In Jesus' name, the anointing is going to be activated in you. Hey! Come on, let's pray for our high school students. The anointing is being activated right now. I'm coming back to the ministry.
Yes.
Give myself away. Come on, every high school student. Every high school student that wants to be a soul winner. Give myself away. Oh, that's it, sister. In the name of the Lord. Apostolic ministry. Apostolic ministry. The witness of the Holy Ghost. The testimony of the glorious God and Savior. Oh, let it come forth. That's right, Sister Deborah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're activating the anointing. By faith right now, I'm going to see the ministry of Jesus Christ. Here I am. Here I stand, Lord. Hallelujah. If you've received from the Lord, would you lift your hands and give Him thanks? Come on, if you've received from the Lord, would you give Him thanks today? Come on, thank Him because He's anointed you, because He's filled you with His Spirit.
In me, I give myself.
Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
I give myself away, so you can use me. I give myself away.
Yes, we give ourselves.
I give myself away,
so you not my own.
To you I belong.
That's right, Brother Coffey. God's already using you. God's already using you. Hallelujah. Sister James.